Good morning. Once upon a time, there lived a man who cited The Onion, a satirical newspaper, as an authentic source of information and declared, and I want to quote the eminent personality on this, quote, "Greek civilization was fabricated," admit Western historians. What will Indian secularists do now? Unquote. Today, this Hindutva activist, a hate monger, a plagiarist with no academic credentials except championing identity-fueled attacks on scholars, has been appointed an honorary professor at Jawaharlal Nehru University. Yuck and double yuck. It is 31st of October 2018. Elected with a mandate to build Ram Temple at Ayodhya, Narendra Modi has ended up building the biggest statue of a Congress president. The one who wanted to ban the snake in the pit, RSS. Such is the irony of India, but without further ado, let's hit the news with today's editorial. Indians are dead serious when it comes to photo ops. Some take selfies and die, like the Indian travel blogger and her husband who fell 800 feet to their death while taking selfies on a cliff at Yosemite National Park in California last week, making Indian trend go international. Others build a grand statue and force kids to make a run for unity, that too at India Gate in Delhi when the air quality index has already gone very critical. But let's move to the resistance. Quote, "These forests, rivers, waterfalls and land supported us for generations. We survived on them. But everything is being destroyed now and celebrations are also planned. Don't you think it's akin to celebrating someone's death? We feel so." Unquote. This is what the headmen of 22 villages situated near the Sardar Sarovar Dam on Monday wrote in an open letter to the Prime Minister of India, Narendra Modi, stating that villagers would not welcome him at the inauguration of the Statue of Unity today. That the most divisive government to run India is using a statue to make grand claims of unity and nationalism is an irony that the Iron Man of India would feel the rust of the decision he should have stuck with, banning RSS. But moving over the misgovernance afoot, while Times of India and Economics Times have provoked the thought of government invoking Section 7 of the RBI Act, which is seen as an instrument of last resort, a direct order from the government, there are rumors of Urjit Patel, the governor of RBI, resigning today. ET has learned that separate letters have been sent to the RBI governor in recent weeks, exercising powers under this section on issues ranging from liquidity of NBFCs, capital requirement for weak banks, and lending to small and micro enterprises. Also, as per ET, this section has never been used in independent India till probably today. It was not used even when the country was close to default in the dark days of 1991, nor in the aftermath of the 2008 crisis. Well, hope not. Never happened in India, but a lot of firsts have happened in new India, like CBI versus CBI. So let's move to this absolute scandalous expose by the deputy CBI superintendent. Ajay Kumar Bassi, the CBI deputy superintendent who was sent to Port Blair hours after the midnight raid that displaced Director Alok Verma, he approached the Supreme Court yesterday with an explosive petition that lists a threat to his life, the possibility of evidence tampering and specific, if not damning, charges against Rakesh Asthana, the bench special director considered close to the Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Bassi's move stands out because he has filed a sworn affidavit leveling the charges, which he has described as shocking. And when he says sworn affidavit, he's putting at stake his career and taking on a senior officer with friends in really high places. Bassi has referred to alleged phone intercepts in which one of the accused is purportedly heard saying, "Asthana to apna aadmi hai." Asthana is our man. And while some investigative agency are fighting it out, at least the court seems to be doing its part. A special court on Tuesday framed charges against Lieutenant Colonel Prasad Shrikant Purohit, Sadhvi Pragya Singh Thakur and five others under the Unlawful Activities Prevention Act or the UAPA and sections of the IPC in the September 2008 Malegaon bomb blast case. Under the UAPA, the accused have been charged with being part of a terrorist act, and under IPC, they have been charged with criminal conspiracy and murder. Six people were killed and over 100 injured when an explosive device trapped on a motorcycle went off near a mosque in Malegaon, a town in Maharashtra, on the 29th of September 2008. And charges, investigations, FIR, they seem to be the common thread for the day. Amazon's India head and three other persons have been booked after a customer claimed to have received a soap instead of a mobile phone that he had ordered from the e-commerce giant, according to the police. And let's move on to international news, where the critical midterm elections in USA has Trump making outrageous promises. But the issues with his promises is they aren't really jumlas, but the dude has the temerity to follow through on some of them. US President Donald Trump offered a dramatic, if legally dubious, promise in a new interview to unilaterally end birthright citizenship, ratcheting up his hotline immigration rhetoric with a week to go before the critical midterm elections. And that wasn't the only outrage that Donald J. Trump was inciting. Pharrell Williams wasn't too happy with Trump using Williams' despicable Me Too song at Trump's rally on the same day 11 people were killed in a Pittsburgh synagogue shooting. The LA Times reported that Williams' attorney sent a cease and desist letter to the president after Trump played happy at his Saturday political rally. On the day of the mass murder of 11 human beings at the hands of a deranged nationalist, you played his song happy to a crowd at a political event in Indiana. Williams' attorney Howard E. King wrote in the letter, "There was nothing happy about the tragedy inflicted upon our country on Saturday, and no permission was granted for your use of this song for this purpose," is what was written in the letter. Well, in other news, Italy has been battered by fierce winds and rain, which has left 11 people dead in the western north, while schools and tourist sites closed in several regions amid fears of people's safety. In the canal city of Venice, rising floodwaters overwhelmed many of its famed squares and walkways, with officials saying as much as 75% of the city is now submerged. And that is all we have for you for today and also for this month. We will be back tomorrow to begin the month, November, with you. Take care if you're in Delhi. Breathe only if you have to amidst all this paralysis. Really wishing that your wait time on your Ola and Uber is less and charges don't peak. Until tomorrow, goodbye from takeapart.in.